Welcome to Color Me Green, a podcast focused on making the world a greener place. Welcome to the first official episode of Color Me Green, the first in 31 episodes that I have figured out how to correctly use my microphone the right way. So if you notice, the sound might sound a little better because I finally have my microphone facing the right way. And yes, that actually is a thing. But anyway, how is everyone's week going? At work, we recently started doing 4-10s. So we are working 4 10-hour days and then we have Fridays off. This week is the first week that we'll have Friday off, so that's exciting. What's not exciting is waking up at 5:30 in the morning and getting up and getting ready. I mean, it's probably a good thing that we aren't doing this during the winter months when the sun isn't up for hours, because if the sun's not up, then I don't want to be either. I am very much a night owl and will stay up until 3 a.m. But after I'm asleep, the act of waking up crushes my soul. Anyway, back to the important things, like today's episode. When I get my really random episode ideas, I write them down in my notes on my phone, and today's episode, I was really intrigued, but also didn't know how I was going to research it. And it wasn't that difficult because there are so many different aspects of it. But with that being said, we are discussing the effects of homelessness on the environment. Unless you're new here, by the way, hi, welcome. You know I live in California, Palm Springs area to be specific. I have been to LA a handful of times and I really avoid going there unless I absolutely have to. Because if you've been to LA, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Homelessness is a huge issue there. It's dirty, as in like it's actually dirty. It smells, there's trash everywhere. Not literally everywhere, but certain areas are very bad, especially downtown. Going on a rant here really quick, I can't stand when tourists are like, oh, let's go to Hollywood or Santa Monica or somewhere really touristy. Hollywood, I'd say, is definitely worse, but still. They might be nice to just go to an experience to say you've been there, but it's not like a fun time. Walking down the Hollywood Walk of Fame is not fun. It's just a bunch of tourists hoping to see celebrities, which you're 99% of the time not going to see. But there's also just a bunch of people trying to get you to pay to take their stuff or to take a picture with them in their character costumes. Highly don't recommend it. But anyway, homelessness is pretty much an issue in most states with large cities. For most people, you can probably name a city in your state that has a homeless issue. So let's dive into today's episode and see how those homeless encampments are affecting our environment. First, I think it's important to educate ourselves in what homelessness is and what causes it so we can better understand the lifestyle and phases of those experiencing this. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, a person experiencing homelessness refers to an individual with no permanent living arrangement. For example, no fixed place of residence. It also states that a transient is someone who is neither a member of a household nor a resident of an institution. For example, someone who sleeps in doorways, overnight shelters, parks, bus stations, etc. Also, a person who stays with a succession of friends or relatives and has no permanent living arrangement on the first moment of the month. The administration also explains the criteria of those who are experiencing homelessness, which include an individual or family who lacks a fixed, regular, or adequate nighttime residence, such as those living in emergency shelters, transitional housing, or places not meant for habitation. Another being an individual or family who will imminently lose their primary nighttime residence within 14 days, provided that no subsequent housing has been identified and the individual or family lacks support networks or resources needed to obtain housing. Unoccupied youth under 25 years of age or families with children and youth who qualify under other federal statutes, such as the Runaway and Homeless Youth Act, have not had a lease or ownership interest in a housing unit in the last 60 days or more, have had two or more moves in the last 60 days, and who are likely to continue to be unstably housed because of a disability or multiple barriers of employment. The last case being an individual or family who is fleeing or attempting to flee domestic violence, has no other residence, and lacks the resources or support networks to obtain other permanent housing. Next, they go on to define those who are at risk of homelessness, which includes individuals and families who have an annual income below 30% of median family income for the area, do not have sufficient resources or support networks immediately available to prevent them from moving to an emergency. I cannot say emergency to save my life. From moving into an emergency shelter or place not meant for habitation. And those who exhibit one or more risk factors of homelessness, including recent housing instability or exiting a publicly funded institution or system of care, such as foster care or a mental health facility. The CDC states that each year, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, conducts a PIT, a point-in-time count, to estimate the number of people experiencing homelessness in the U.S. According to the data from these counts, most people experiencing homelessness stay in shelters. Around 40% of the overall total live in unsheltered locations, such as a car or outside. And almost one-third of the total people experience homelessness as a family. It also states that people who are African American, American Indian, or Alaska Native have higher rates of homelessness. Just to talk numbers really quick as an example, CA.gov, California state website, has a fact sheet that was done in 2020. It states the following. As of a single night in January 2020, California had 161,548 homeless people, which accounts for 28% of the nation's total homeless population. 70% of those people were unsheltered. More than half of all unsheltered people in the U.S. reside in California. Now they go on to list other states and cities with high numbers of homelessness, but the exhibits or little charts were kind of hard to understand, so I won't go into detail, but I'll list a few for comparison. New York City with 77,943 people. Seattle with 11,751 people. St. Petersburg, Florida with 2,226 people. And a bunch of other cities in California were also stated. After finding out the number of people, I was interested in knowing how much money states spend on the homeless and trying to improve the situation. In California, the Interagency Council on Homelessness, which is a state body tasked with overseeing the state's homelessness strategy and dividing up funds to local governments, issued a report detailing how much the state spent on homelessness between 2018 and 2021. It stated that California spent nearly $10 billion and provided services to more than 571,000 people. $5.5 billion of this went to housing. From building new units to preserving old ones, converting unused hotel rooms into temporary housing, building shelters and permanent supportive housing facilities. Despite this, the majority still didn't get sheltered, and the number of people experiencing homelessness only continues to grow. Looking for the ultimate way to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than BuzzBox Cocktails. Their delicious and convenient, ready-to-drink cocktails will take any occasion to the next level. With BuzzBox, you can bid farewell to complicated mixology and say hello to hassle-free indulgence. Their 10 cocktails are thoughtfully crafted with premium spirits and all-natural ingredients, ensuring a top-level drinking experience every time. Whether you prefer classics like mojito and margarita, or crave something adventurous like whiskey lemonade or a hurricane, BuzzBox has a cocktail for every occasion. Their single-serve, 100% plant-based packaging means you can bring the party anywhere, from backyard barbecues to beach bonfires and everywhere in between. No more lugging around bottles, mixers, or a heavy carbon footprint. Simply chill, shake, and enjoy. With BuzzBox cocktails, the fun never stops. So don't settle for ordinary when you can savor the extraordinary. Get the party started and order your BuzzBox cocktails today at BuzzBox.com. Now on to the second half of today's episode. When you think of homeless encampments, you probably think of major cities or downtown areas that are easily accessible. When you go on to think of these areas, you most likely will notice the amount of litter around. I know this is common everywhere, including highways, streets, parks, and more, and people litter, whether they have a home or not. But that litter around homeless areas is usually left around much longer. Most encampments are set up along standing structures, under overpasses, along highways, waterways, and even in parks. They are often made up of tents and tarps, but also really anything that can provide shelter. A lot of times these areas are filled with trash, drug paraphernalia, and human waste, making this not only an environmental issue, but also one of human health. A study of littering behavior by beach users in southern Brazil found that litter generation is about twice higher in the area occupied with lower average annual income and literacy degree. This helps to open the question to why a certain group of people, for instance, the homeless population, would be more likely to contribute to environmental pollution. A lot of downtown areas and major cities have public water areas, such as fountains, lakes, or ponds in parks, and so on. These areas that should be nice to view and create nice atmosphere often serve as bathing areas for the homeless, especially during hot months. Actually, the last place I lived in was a condo community, and it wasn't gated like the place I currently live now. I never personally seen or experienced this, but my neighbor said that a few times there was a homeless guy caught bathing in our pool. I didn't even live close to downtown or really in a spot of town where you saw a lot of homeless people because it wasn't really near much. I mean, I get it, during hot months you need a place to wash off, but there are better options. A lot of those that are homeless are more often seen in areas with fresh water, like the ocean cities, or areas with lakes, rivers, or any free-flowing water because it's free and easily accessible. When encampments are set up near these areas, you are more often than not going to see waste flowing into the city's waterways. This raises concern for not only environmental issues and the polluting of a natural resource, but it's also very likely that that pollution could create diseases and such that could affect people living in the area. Speaking of diseases, there are oftentimes drug waste found in homeless encampments, and this waste is very dangerous. Diseases like HIV, hepatitis, and other blood-borne illnesses are more common in homeless communities. With the lack of medical care, many individuals unknowingly carry these diseases and oftentimes spread them through their personal relationships and sharing needles. As waste, these diseases can spread to other people that visit these areas and can oftentimes spread from person to person and city to city. All of this waste is contributed to by the lack of available resources, such as housing, which we already know of, but also waste management. We take for granted our ability to properly dispose of waste and our ability to recycle, which not enough people do, and if they do, they do oftentimes incorrectly. But that is a completely other episode. The amount of waste includes things we already discussed, but also food waste, furniture, and household items like clothes and bedding, all used in encampments, are not able to be disposed of properly, so they pollute our streets, parks, and waterways because of this. I'm not saying that this doesn't happen due to the general human population just not disposing of things properly in general, but in areas with an increased homeless population, it's more noticeable to those who don't see the reality of it every day. I also want to make it very clear that I am not saying that homelessness is the main or only factor of these environmental issues, but like many other things, they aren't helping the problem either. If you would like to do your part in helping the homeless population in your area, you can reach out to your local shelters and donate money, food, clothes, hygiene products, and more. You can even stop by your local food bank and volunteer or donate there as well. I will be personally donating to an organization that's smaller, but it resonated with me, which is exactly the kind of charity or organization that you should contribute to. The Hollywood Food Coalition strives to feed and serve the immediate needs of the hungry every day of the year. They have two programs that really stood out to me. The first being a community exchange, which is a free concierge food service aimed at providing small to medium-sized social service nonprofits the food they need when they need it. They take great care in getting to know the needs of the nonprofits that they serve so they can provide them with what they need while minimizing food waste in the process. I noticed while on their site that they often partner with local stores and farmers markets to also help minimize food waste. And not only this, but they also help provide tasteful and nutritious meals to those that need them. Their next program is another thing that made me want to help out. They have a community wellness program that helps address additional physical and mental health needs. They offer mobile health and vision clinics like the UCLA Mobile Medical Clinic, as well as referrals to social services such as employment and housing. They also pass out shoes, clothes, hygiene kits, blankets, and more. If you would like to donate as well, I'll leave their information in the show notes. I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Color Me Green. New episodes come out on Wednesdays, and hopefully each one has something you can take away and learn from. If you want to request a certain topic to discuss, please feel free to message me on the show's Instagram at Color Me Green Podcast, linked in the show notes. If you love today's episode, please make sure to leave a review and let others know what you think of the show. One of the best ways to help change the world is to share this episode with a friend and let them also learn what they can do to live more sustainably. Always remember to reduce, reuse, recycle, and live green.